army to whose honours he was associated. On his first entrance into the service, an oath was administered to him with every circumstance of solemnity. He promised never to desert his standard, to submit his own will to the commands of his leaders, and to sacrifice his life for the safety of the emperor and the empire. The attachment of the Roman troops to their standards was inspired by the united influence of religion and of honor. The golden eagle, which glittered in the front of the legion, was the object of their fondest devotion. Nor was it esteemed less impious than it was ignominious to abandon that sacred ensign in the hour of danger. These motives, which derived their strength from the imagination, were enforced by fears and hopes of a more substantial kind. Regular pay, occasional donatives, and a stated recompense, after the appointed time of service, alleviated the hardships of the military life, whilst, on the other hand, it was impossible for cowardice or disobedience to escape the severest punishment. The centurions were authorized to chastise with blows, the generals had a right to punish with death. And it was an inflexible maxim of Roman discipline that a good soldier should dread his officers far more than the enemy. From such laudable arts did the valour of the imperial troops receive a degree of firmness and docility, unattainable by the impetuous and irregular passions of barbarians. 9 centuries of war had gradually introduced into the service many alterations and improvements. The legions in the time of the Punic Wars differed very materially from those which achieved the victories of Caesar, or defended the monarchy of Hadrian and the Antonines. The constitution of the Imperial Legion may be described in a few words. The heavy armed infantry, which composed its principal strength, was divided into 10 cohorts and 55 companies, under the orders of a correspondent number of tribunes and centurions. The first cohort, which always claimed the post of honour and the custody of the eagle, was formed of 1,105 soldiers, the most approved for valour and fidelity. The remaining 9 cohorts consisted each of 555, and the whole body of legionary infantry amounted to 6,100 men. Their arms were uniform and admirably adapted to the nature of their service: an open helmet with a lofty crest, a breastplate or coat of mail, greaves on their legs, and an ample buckler on their left arm. The buckler was of an oblong and concave figure, 4 feet in length and 2.5 in breadth, framed of a light wood, covered with a bull's hide, and strongly guarded with plates of brass. Besides a lighter spear, the legionary soldier grasped in his right hand the formidable pilum, a ponderous javelin whose utmost length was about 6 feet, and which was terminated by a massy triangular point of steel of 18 inches. This instrument was indeed much inferior to our modern firearms, since it was exhausted by a single discharge at the distance of only 10 or 12 paces. Yet when it was launched by a firm and skilful hand, there was not any cavalry that durst venture within its reach, nor any shield or corslet that could sustain the impetuosity of its weight. As soon as the Roman had darted his pilum, he drew his sword and rushed forwards to close with the enemy. His sword was a short, well-tempered Spanish blade that carried a double edge and was alike suited to the purpose of striking or of pushing. But the soldier was always instructed to prefer the latter use of his weapon, as his own body remained less exposed whilst he inflicted a more dangerous wound on his adversary. The legion was usually drawn up 8 deep. And the regular distance of 3 feet was left between the files as well as ranks. A body of troops, habituated to preserve this open order in a long front and a rapid charge, found themselves prepared to execute every disposition which the circumstances of war or the skill of their leader might suggest. The soldier possessed a free space for his arms and motions, and sufficient intervals were allowed through which seasonable reinforcements might be introduced to the relief of the exhausted combatants. The cavalry, without which the force of the legion would have remained imperfect, was divided into 10 troops or squadrons. The first, as the companion of the first cohort, consisted of 132 men, whilst each of the other 9 amounted only to 66. The entire establishment formed a regiment, if we may use the modern expression, of 726 horse.